A little taste of sailing there by Rod Stewart, which is to introduce Douglas Ward, who is the editor of the Berlitz Guide to Cruising and Cruise Ships. Now, 1 year ago, we spoke to Douglas, and he was talking about the state of the industry, and I thought we'd update listeners on what's happened in the intervening period and get a glimpse over the horizon of what's to come for cruise lovers. Now, luckily, I found him at home in the UK today, one of the rare periods that he's on dry land through the year. Douglas Ward is the cruise guru of cruise gurus. He's described by the London Times as the fiercest critic in the cruise industry. We've got him on the line from London again. Good morning, Douglas. How are you?
Well, it is morning here in England, and actually I'm close to Southampton on the south coast, about 2 hours away from London, and the weather is okay, and it's very nice to be on land for a few days between ships.
Yes, you spend more than 200 days a year at sea, which is too much for anyone who's not a sailor, I think, but not employed as a ship's crew.
Well, you know, I love the ships and I like the sea, so it works well for me.
No, obviously it does, and it's a great life if that's the life you choose. Now, we spoke to you last year, and it was very enlightening to find out about the state of the cruise industry globally. How would you say it's fared over the past 12 months, and what can we look forward to in the next 12?
Well, I think the industry continues to grow, Graham. It's an amazing industry. There's no other business or industry like the cruise industry. We have much more demand these days from families with children because they realize the excellent value that cruising brings. And then we've got all the niche markets like the expedition ships, and expedition cruising is exploding at the moment. Lots of new ships on order. In fact, we have about 90 new cruise ships on order over the next several years. So there is certainly a demand, and the demand drives the growth of the industry, drives the new orders.
And are the new ships to replace existing ships or to add to the fleet generally?
Well, most of them will be adding to the fleet, and we have a couple of new startup companies, and others will be replacing old tonnage, which will actually maybe not disappear, but it will be sold and moved around the world to different markets.
And change its name, probably, bob up somewhere in Australia, maybe, as a P&O or thereabouts.
Well, that happens. That happens quite frequently because, you know, P&O's parent company, which is the Carnival Corporation, they have over 120 ships, and so they can actually move between brands when needed. So it's all up to the demand, really, and supply.
Now,
One thing I did notice this year, particularly, is the growth of the Southeast Asian cruise community, particularly from China.
Right.
So that's a growth trend, there's no question about it. And I think the Chinese market next year will grow even more.
So where do they mostly embark from?
The Chinese basically embark from Shanghai, but also there's a new cruise port opening up called Nansha. And in fact, I was there a month ago, and the local government is building a very nice big cruise terminal for the expected increase in cruise passengers.
Okay.
And of course, some of the Chinese will go to Hong Kong and sail from there. And Hong Kong is a very busy port these days.
Right.
In fact, we have a brand new ship which is just heading to Asia, and it's a large cruise ship, about 140,000 tons. And that's called World Dream.
A new company
called Dream Cruises. They started last year, and they are growing spectacularly in the area.
Well, I guess it's good to see another company entering this market, which is so dominated by just a few, isn't it?
It is indeed, yes. And in fact, Dream Cruises is part of Genting.
Ah, the casino group.
Yeah? Yes, well, part of their business is casinos and resorts and hotels.
Yeah.
And the other part is cruising. And Genting also owns Star Cruises. And their ships mainly sail from Singapore and also from Thailand, from Bangkok.
Yes, I've seen that cruise line up there. Now, what's the general trend in terms of these new vessels? Are they larger or smaller?
I think the trend is between very small and very large. And the largest one at the moment is the Harmony of the Seas, which is Royal Caribbean Cruises. And that are about 227,000 tons. And personally, I don't think the ships will go any larger than that, simply because the infrastructure in most ports simply can't handle them.
Right.
Only a few selected ports can handle that kind of size ship with up to 6,500 passengers.
Mm, it's an awful lot of people, isn't it?
It is, yes. So you need the big ports that handle, that have the infrastructure to provide all the tours and the tour guides, etc., etc.
So I think the last time we spoke, you spoke with me about the growth in the expedition cruise market. Are we seeing among these new vessels, are we seeing a number of the smaller, you know, 100 to 300 passenger builds?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, there's an Australian company which is called Scenic Tours in Australia.
Ah, yes.
And Scenic have a brand new expedition ships, and the complete expedition area is new to them as well.
Yeah, they're big river cruisers, aren't they?
They are indeed, and I was aboard one of the Scenic River vessels not long ago. They're doing very well in the river cruising field.
Oh, well, that's good.
But the expedition cruising is something new for them, so they will have a little bit of a learning curve, I think. But they're building quite a spectacular vessel for about 220 passengers.
Okay.
And that comes into operation in 2018, so that's called Scenic Eclipse.
Oh, right, okay. And so who are the beneficiaries of all this building? The Dutch have been great builders of ships over the years. Who's getting all these jobs to build them?
Well, actually, the Dutch are good at building river vessels.
Right.
And so are some of the East European countries like Romania and Croatia.
Okay.
So they handle the smaller river cruise vessels, the river ships, which carry up to about 200 passengers.
Right.
But the big cruise ships and even the small boutiques, mid-size ships are being built by the French shipyard and also by the Italian shipyards. The Italians have a lot of ships being built,
right?
Built in several places in Italy, but also the Norwegians build ships.
Right.
And so do small shipbuilding yards in Germany.
Oh, okay.
And then in Germany also, there is one yard called Meyerwerft who build many of the larger ships, for example, for Royal Caribbean, Celebrity Cruises, and also for Genting.
Right.
So all the shipbuilders are presently based in Europe. They've got all the expertise. They've got all the outfitters and the engineers and all the modular supply companies that supply things like bathrooms, etc., etc.
Okay.
In Southeast Asia, that hasn't happened yet, but I'm sure the Chinese will be building cruise ships very soon, because the Chinese government is anxious to keep the work flowing, of course, in the Chinese shipyards.
Now, I note in your new Berlitz Guide to Cruising and Cruise Ships, you talk about the cost of these vessels. It's a staggering investment that they have to make. A 604 passenger seaborne Encore is $250 million, but you're saying that at the top end of the tree, there's a 5,500 odd passenger Symphony of the Seas, is about €1.3 billion. That's some serious
exactly.
money there.
And and it doesn't end there, because the cost of the ships does go up year by year incrementally.
Right.
And the thing is that these cruise lines have tremendous amount of faith from the investors. And so basically the big cruise lines, the big part of the cruise industry is really controlled by Wall Street.
Oh, okay.
Wall Street needs dividends, and so investors invest with a view to making a profit. So the cruise lines do make a profit to please the investors, of course. And as they do that, they invest more money to build or replace ships.
Now, last year you awarded your gong to various vessels under various categories. What's the situation this year? What do you perceive to be the best vessel afloat right now?
Well, it just depends what you're looking for, but basically, the highest scoring ships at the moment are exactly the same as last year.
This they is
are
Europa.
The Europa 2 and Europa. And these ships are small, actually. They are 450 and 550 passenger ships.
Right.
The company's name is Hapag-Lloyd Cruises.
Yes.
They also have expedition ships. And two of those are called Hanseatic and Bremen. And by the way, they have also ordered two brand new expedition ships. So Hapag-Lloyd expedition ships are coming in 2019, both of them.
Well, that was me speaking with Douglas Ward, the editor of the Berlitz Guide to Cruising and Cruise Ships. You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.